Now, you know, perhaps you were teary-eyed, maybe a bit anxious, if you were one of those people that took your precious little grade one or even grade two or child to creche, or perhaps, you know, changing over to that new grade. These milestones don't only affect the children, it affects you. Now, we know Rachel Khaleesi was sitting in a pool that had about a tenth of the water in it, and she was drinking cocktails. Not really, but it was a wonderful photograph while Sia and the kids made their way to school. But a lot of it's just an emotional roller coaster. I think about, you know, the two-year-old that has to go to creche. He's been at the same creche for since he was 5 months old, and then we take him to a new one, lovely creche, and every day says, "Daddy, Daddy, no school, no school." Are very anxious to go. As a parent, you feel anxious about that. But at some stage, while they start getting to, you know, they get 2, 3, 4, 5, they start understanding, and you can understand what they want. 5, 6, 7, 8, they start getting bigger and growing attitudes. 9, 10, 11, 12, going on 30, and you still have responsibility for them. And the big question is, when do you actually cut the umbilical cord? Now, legally, obviously, when they're 18, they are legally adults. Some people move out of the house when they're 18. Some stay with their parents until they're 45. No judgment. And parents sometimes don't mind. And questions get asked, but hold on. Your child's an adult already. Should they not be independent and moving on their own? So maybe you want to share with us this morning what your situation is. How old is your child, and are you still a parent that can't cut the umbilical cord? Or maybe you left the house when you were very young and you started becoming really, really independent. Share those stories on 021-446-0567. And to discuss this, clinical psychologist at least, Lavandri Pillay, about when one should learn to let go. Lavandri, good having you on the show.
Hi, Kino. Thanks for having me back.
It's a pleasure. Now, do you have kids?
Yes, I do. Two of my own.
Two of your own? How old are they?
The one is 6, started grade 1 this year.
Yeah.
And the other one is 3.
And so how was the grade 1 for mom?
Wow, sure. You know, with all the psychology practice you have, it never prepares you for a milestone like that.
No, I can imagine. I can very well imagine. And, you know, cutting the proverbial umbilical cord is a lot easier said than done. But let's start looking at the ground rule, shall we? I mean, if one looks at this, well, it's natural as a parent to want to make sure that your child is safe. Even when they're 17, 18, and they do their own stuff, you worry about them. Even if they're not at home, you worry about them. Did they arrive? Then you text them, and you WhatsApp, and you're going, "Are you home safe?" And they get really irritated. So Where does one even start?
I don't think that we ever stop worrying about our kids. I mean, those of us that are still fortunate enough to have our parents around still get checked up on. Did you get home safely? Are you okay? How are you doing? How are the kids doing? That happens all the time. And it's not so much about letting go and cutting the umbilical cord, but around transitioning to a new stage of development.
Yeah, because there are different stages, right? Like grade 1, for example, is a different stage.
Yes, most definitely. It's a huge developmental stage. It's the beginning of the next 12, 13 years of their life, of a schooling career. It's a stepping stone in the next direction. For the first 5 years of a child's life, 5, 6 years of a child's life, they are in play school, or, you know, they spend a little bit of time at school and a little more time at home. They're interacting with their parents or their primary caregivers more often than they do with other, you know, social circles such as teachers and friends and students, that kind of thing. It's a huge milestone, not only for the child, but for the parents as well. So I think sometimes parents get more anxious about this new milestone than kids do. For the kids, it's just another day. But for parents, it's anxiety provoking. How do we prepare them for the next stage? How do we prepare them for school? Did I give them enough tools to get them ready for this next stage? Did I teach them enough at home before I send them off to this big school in this big world? There's a lot of fear in parents that sometimes transfer onto the kids. And they get anxious about it because they don't understand why their parents are anxious about it.
Well, if my mom or my dad's anxious, something's got to be wrong.
Most definitely. And I think more often than not, we forget that our kids are very aware of what's happening in the world and what's happening with their parents. And they might not understand it, but they are aware of it. And so it's very important for us to talk to the kids about what's going on, about why we feel so anxious about them going to grade one or to the next grade or high school even.
Let's talk through the various stages of development. And with that development comes a different level of independence. And just an anecdotal thing once again, you have your child in school and they've got to do their homework and they've got to struggle through what they've been taught at school. And as a parent sometimes, and especially when they in the younger, the earlier grades, you assist them. And as those move on, you have to start leaving and let them start making their own mistakes. So let's talk through the various stages of development and how one can actually positively affect that as opposed to creating anxiety within our children.
So I think it's development. It doesn't matter whether you're 5 or 15. The developmental stages are very specific to the individual. So it's not to say that every 5-year-old is going to be able to do this,
sure,
or every 15-year-old is going to be able to do that. I think the most important thing for a parent is to actually pay attention to their children's needs. So as soon as their little one is starting to say, but no, leave me alone, I want to button up my own shirt, and they don't do it correctly, then the parent quickly wants to rush in and save them from their own distress. It's about paying attention to what your children need and also helping them in the process. So if they don't get it right the first time, it's okay. If they don't get it right the second time, help them understand that sometimes it'll take a few turns before we actually get it right. And it's about learning the process. And I think the best thing for little kids especially is about helping them understand that even sometimes mom and dad get it wrong too. You know, like, for example, on the first day of school, you can say that, you know, sure, I can see that you're trying to be really brave, but, you know, mommy was also a little bit scared today. It helps them understand that it's okay to feel the way they're feeling. It's okay to feel frustrated. And each developmental stage comes with its own frustrations because it comes with its own, it comes with new things, new experiences that they're not familiar with. I think the important thing for parents is to allow their kids to make mistakes.
Parents try and protect their kids as well, don't they?
Yes, that's it. They try to protect them from the anxiety. They try to protect them from getting frustrated or not getting it right. But then in that process, you're not protecting them. You're hindering their progress.
Yeah, I'm the type of parent go, don't worry, if you come back, I'll buy you a toy. I get into lots of trouble. Lots and lots and lots of trouble because I don't like upsetting people. Well, unless you're a politician or whatever, but it's normal people. And I don't know, it's difficult to fall into that, but we also need to give ourselves the tools, right, to be able to deal with it. And if we don't understand development stages, and obviously different ages will differ, different, as you were saying, different children, learners will develop at different rates, but you need to be able to recognize the particular stage of development, no matter what the age.
Yes. Look, it's very important that you stay a little bit informed. Be aware of what stage, how old your child is, and what's expected at that stage of development. And that's where it's really important to sort of speak to the teachers, listen to what the teachers are telling you about where your child is at, without feeling defensive about it, without feeling like the teacher's trying to attack you as a bad parent, or that you're not doing a good enough job at home. It's around being open to listening to criticism of your parenting.
No, indeed. And not being a helicopter parent. You are listening to Lavandri Pillay, clinical psychologist. There are different stages of development, not attached to age. And as a parent, you need to adapt. You need to assist your child with those developmental stages. And so some people argue that, or empower them, I think is probably a better word to use. Some people argue that you go beyond that once they hit 15, 16, 17, because then they're on autopilot and don't want to hear a thing. And it's only once they're in their late 20s, 30s, and things aren't going well, they'll knock on the door going, Mom, can I come around for a couple of months? This is not working out. Or Dad. So Lavandre Pillay, clinical psychologist, your guest this morning. If you'd like to call in, you know what to do. You can give us a call on 021-446-0567 and WhatsApp on 072-567-1567. Really keen to hear your stories as well. And this is Today. I'm Kino Cummies, and we'll go straight to your calls before we chat to Lavandre Pillay, clinical psychologist. And letting go, what does it actually mean, letting go? There are different stages of development, and there are different stages of letting go as a parent. Because letting go can only assist your child to grow. I should be a poet. Anyway, let's go to Jardine in Manenberg. Hi, Jardine.
Hi there. Good at you.
Good to have you on the show. Talk to me.
Yeah, I was brought up, I'm now nearly 60, but when we were brought up, it was very tough for us to continue studying after high school because we had to go help, like, bring an income for the family. But I've noticed now with my grandkids, they don't want to do the jobs on weekends and holidays and all that. So they just, and it doesn't help them when they come finish high school where they can, like, go waiting and all that. It, the parents spoiled it. It's not them, they want to do it, but the parents are so scared to put them out there that I've noticed, I've spoken to my daughters and I told them, let them go out there and work and earn a living and feel what it's like so they can continue. And I find it a lot of parents now are so scared and are so spoiling their kids in that way, especially the ones who's a bit wealthy, who earned a lot of money now.
Yeah.
They feel they must make it easier for the kids, and I don't think that's very helpful.
And that's a trap we fall into, right? Because we never had it. Yeah. We're trying to give our kids everything we never had, which means we overcompensate.
Yeah, so when tough times come, they don't know how to handle it. If they go out there and they can't even take a flat, if they're spending too well, now they can't pay their rent, they come back to the parents. And, you know, it's just tough.
That's a good point. I think a phenomenal point, Jardine. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for raising it. Leandri, oh my word. I'm losing it, by the way, Lavandri.
It's all right.
It's all right. 2020 has not even taken off properly, and yeah, I'm changing your name. So, Lavandri, how do you respond to that?
I agree. I think a lot of parents do fear giving their kids the responsibility of taking on a job or a holiday job or something like that. Because one, you're correct. We sometimes want to compensate or overcompensate for what we didn't have growing up. And two is we're afraid our kids can't do it. We're afraid they won't cope emotionally or, you know, physically they won't cope. Now, how can they study and at the same time work a job, yeah, right? But that's because it's our own fears that we instill upon our kids. It starts really early in parenting around giving your kids the responsibility to do chores at home.
Yeah.
Something as simple as making your bed at 6 years old is very important. You might not get it right. It might not be perfect. But the important thing is that you're giving your child the opportunity to try. And in doing that, you're giving them the emotional confidence to believe in themselves that they are able to do it as long as they take on they try.
Yeah, but the problem is our schooling system doesn't help them with that, eh? Teaches them that if you fail, you're bad. Naughty, naughty, naughty. How do you fail like that? You know, it's just, anyway. Let's go on. More calls. Hey, we're getting lots of calls today, so I'm looking forward to taking them. Edgar in Azerfontein. Hi there, Edgar.
How's it going?
Good, sir. Good. Thanks for the call. Chat to us.
Yeah, my situation was I left school quite early. And I joined the army when I was just late 17. But things have changed. I can see that. My two boys left home early, but they came back so often I had to fit a revolving door. It was a busy time. But the thing is, they became not my children anymore, but they almost became my brothers. And they went through the University of Life like most of us do. And I thoroughly enjoyed the fact that they came home, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had problems here and there, but they've both done fantastically well.
Yep.
Even though they were with me until they're 30, although not all the time, they just mooched in and out like it was a hotel, you know.
Yeah, and it's wonderful to be able to have that relationship.
Oh, it's fantastic, really.
And you, I mean, yeah.
Carry on.
No, you were saying no.
Yeah, no, I thoroughly enjoyed it, you know. My wife perhaps took a bit of strain with the cooking and everything else, but the beer was flowing, you know.
You get sit and drink with your boys and have fun.
You should teach them
to get into the kitchen with mom and help with those dinners together, hey?
Yeah, no, they did a little bit. But it was great. You know, when Liverpool was playing and what have you, the banter in the house was fantastic, you know.
Shame.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. So that's my story.
Yeah, it's abuse to give your children Liverpool T-shirts. I just remember that. I'll have to report you to the authorities.
I'm a Liverpool supporter myself.
So they end up like Mario. Look at him. Even wearing Liverpool caps. But Edgar, wonderful story. Lavandry, yeah, I got it right. Lavandry, just your response to that, because there's the other side. Your children leave, but they come back and the door's always open.
Of course. I mean, it's always important to let them know that there's a safety net to fall back on, that they can trust their parents. And sometimes it means taking them in and housing them for a few months. Mm. And sometimes it means that they can come to you and tell you that they're struggling, but you give them the confidence to go out there and try again, to tell them, you know, I appreciate that you're struggling and I'm always here for you, but you need to go back out there and you need to try and survive on your own.
It's about like birds kicking their chicks out of the nest, and they must learn how to fly. And I think the one lesson I learnt today is that you need to give your children space to grow. No matter what your hang-ups are of the past, no matter what you're trying to give them that you didn't have, you have to allow them to grow and build their own strength. And I want to thank you, Lavandry Pillay, for joining us, clinical psychologist.